So a nudge is some small feature of the environment that captures our attention and influences our behavior.
And you've been influential in the Tories here in Britain and the Barack Obama's administration. Can you sort of point to anything that's we've actually seen from David Cameron's Tories and that you could say, well, I think that's they're talking about nudges here?
Well, I think that they've certainly been more interested in using social comparisons, giving people information about what other people are doing, making use of that. And we just this morning had a meeting where we were talking about increasing disclosure, and disclosure and transparency is a big part of nudging.
Now, since Nudge was published early last year, there's obviously been a huge change in the global economy. In the paperback edition of Nudge, which is just coming out now, you've written a postscript on the global recession, in which you say that greed and corruption helped to create the crisis, but simple human frailty played key roles. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Well, I think that human frailty played roles at two levels. You can think of it as at the top and the bottom of the food chain. So at the bottom, it's probably not surprising to remark that the people who took out the subprime mortgages that created this mess, many of them didn't understand the intricacies of the mortgages that they were taking out. And like I say, that's probably not a very remarkable comment. But I think what's true is the complexities at the top were also befuddling to the people at the top who were making millions of dollars. So we've seen many companies disappear or virtually disappear. And I think partly that's because the CEOs of those companies weren't fully aware of all the bets that their employees were taking.
And there was also the temptation to take out a second mortgage. And there's plenty of opportunity for people to get heavily in debt.
Well, that's right. And I think temptation, again, played roles at the top and at the bottom. So refinancing your house became tempting when your neighbor did and used the proceeds to add a room or buy a new car. And so there was a lot of keeping up with the Joneses. But there was just as much keeping up with the Joneses among the CEOs. So one bank CEO goes out and plays golf with another, and the one's bragging about how he's making hundreds of millions on credit default swaps, and the other one says, well, gee, I ought to get in on that too.
And meanwhile, there's a sort of general sense of optimism that we've got to invest in the property market.
Well, certainly the housing bubble was a very important aspect of this. Your housing bubble here was even worse than, or even better, depending on your point of view, than the one we experienced in the U.S. And certainly there was a widespread view that house prices only go up and that there's no risk in buying a house. And we know that was wrong.
You say in the book that the proper response to the global financial crisis shouldn't consist solely of nudges, but what role can nudges play?
Well, we think that a lot more can be done in terms of transparency and disclosure. And so one idea from the book that's gaining a lot of currency now is to use more technology by making the disclosure that's now part of our regulation, transforming that to electronic disclosure. Now, this seems like a boring, geeky, technological idea, but it's actually quite important. Here's the way it would work. When you apply for a mortgage, now you get 20 pages of unintelligible gibberish. Under the system we imagine, you'd get that, but in addition, you'd get an electronic file that you could download or upload into a website that would explain it to you. And it's difficult to do that. Translating 20 pages of text into information is hard. But if the information was machine readable, then websites could emerge that would help you. And we imagine the same thing for cell phone plans, for credit cards, and all kinds of things. So the idea is just to make the consumers smarter and help them make better decisions.
Another big development since Nudge was first published last year is the election of Barack Obama. And your co-author, Cass Sunstein, now heads the Obama administration's Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs. What's your understanding of how the Obama administration uses choice architecture?
Well, of course, it's a little early to tell, but I've been referring to Cass as the nudger in chief. And I don't think that's his official title, but, you know, the second, I'll give you a couple examples. The second day Obama was in office, there was an executive order released saying that the default option for the government is to grant all requests for information. So our big campaign for transparency is one that Obama agrees with. And since the government has much of the data that we'd like, saying that they're going to release it is a great first move. More recently, they announced a new plan where all companies have to publicize their carbon emissions. And this is something we talk about in the book, that merely publicizing that can have an effect, a good effect, because companies may be embarrassed about how much they're polluting the economy, or their neighbors will nudge them to clean up their act once they're made public.
Are you finding that, you know, now that this book's coming out again in paperback, and we've had the global economic downturn, we've had Barack Obama's election, that there is still as much interest in what you've got to say as there was first time round?
Well, if anything, more interest. I think word of mouth, the book has gotten about. And I just met this morning with David Cameron and George Osborne and talked about some of the ideas that the Tories are pushing, that Mr. Cameron was nice enough to say that they had stolen many of the ideas from us. And so we're pleased with that. And I think that with Obama and Cameron being interested in the ideas, maybe they'll get some currency around the world.